above. He came to change his world through love. He came humbly, he came to serve. He'll come again to rule his earth. Hallelujah, the Lord has come. And hallelujah, the Lord has come. Hallelujah, the Lord has come. Emmanuel, our God is with us.
You're listening to Thursday Night Live at Calvary Chapel, St. Paul. Calvary Chapel, St. Paul is a fellowship of believers committed to a fourfold style of ministry. We seek to reach, teach, mend, and send. Each Thursday Night Live service involves a time of intimate worship, an in-depth study of God's Word, and a time of afterglow and leading of the Holy Spirit. And now, here is Thursday Night Live.
Hey, good evening. Good evening, good evening, good evening. Alex, did you like take that out? Yeah, it fades out all on its own. Then once it dies out, you can just take it out so there's no white noise. So it's set up that way. Read your notes. All right. Okay. Very good. All right. We try to make it foolproof, but you're just like me. We have ways of making it complicated. Hey, turn with me in your Bibles. You know, there's instructions. We're going to get those, right? All right. Then follow them. It's all written out. You trying to read it electronically or something like that? Or Jesus, that's why I go to the hard copy of this. All right. We didn't have to go here, did we? All right. All right. Hey, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. I just ask you, Lord, to bless it and do something with it. And God, that we'd be able to study your word, find out about more about you and how much you love us. And in turn, we can just turn around and just love you even more. So we just praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Did I tell you to open up your Bibles? All right. Where'd you open it up to? Where are we at? All right. Just open it up. We're at Bible. All right. Read it out. What did the Lord say? All right. Hey, tonight, I want to hear from you. So Kimberly and I have been traveling. We've been gone. We've been going around the country visiting other Christians and churches and people and things. And I don't know, I'm partial to you folks. We brag about you a lot. We gossip to each other about you. But we brag on you about others. So we love Calvary Chapel St. Paul, and it's just been a real blessing. This last Sunday, a retired pastor or a former pastor, Bob Irish, and his wife Bev were here. They're from Calvary Chapel Ventura, so it just blessed me. This guy's been blessing me for years. Had some physical infirmities, and they're traveling in the country, so it just blessed me that they came in and said, hey, we wanted to see you, and you know, they've listened to me, and we want to see it live, and they weren't shocked. The thing that is, they say, and that others who visit through here, they go, this just reminds us of what Calvary Chapel used to be years ago, when, you know, 35 years ago when I first got saved. It's a family. We hang out. And I was just in Indiana at the Calvary Chapel Pastors Conference, Midwest Conference in Indiana. Harvard hadn't been there in 4 years. It's the last time I broadcast it on our Bible radio. And it was a good time. It wasn't like what we do in Bellevue, Nebraska, south of Omaha. It's just a smaller, intimate time, way better food. I love the folks there, but it's a camp, it's a conference center, and I thought they were a little bit discriminatory towards me. I was the last one coming in. Dinner service was over. There was plenty of food there, and I went there and said, and he just gives me, and I thought I was at fat camp. And he gives me one little chicken patty there and a little scoop of broccoli. And I'm like looking at him, and he's looking at me. And that hasn't changed a bit. You've been there. Hasn't changed a bit. So and then this other guy comes in, all of 120 pounds, soaking wet, rocks in his pockets. And I go, hey, man, you want a couple slices of chicken? And I just, I don't get that. All right. So a little discrimination going on there. So. That's okay. I went in. Maybe they're offended because I was bringing in my own food. We'll see. But it was a good time. It was a good time to see people still walking with the Lord and just encouraged to walk with the Lord. And so I want to hear from everyone here tonight. And If you were here Sunday, where I had the home fellowship leaders sharing and giving their testimony, we had a really great response on Bible radio, our internet radio ministry. And again, when you travel, go and visit. Folks, we just don't have this, what we have here at Calvary Chapel St. Paul, and it's particularly here in the Midwest. We just don't have what you have over at Calvary Solid Rock, what you have here in quite a few other Calvary chapels. I mean, especially the ones we planted, with that whole culture of that intimacy and a family. And just as I've shared over the last few weeks before I left, you don't like everyone in your family. So when you come here, you're probably not going to like everybody. You can love everybody, but you might not totally get along, and you're going to hang out. And it's the same thing. I come from a large family. Certain siblings and I hung out with each other that we didn't hang out with others. Now that they're all dead, some of us hang out a little bit more. You do that, and that's just the family coming together. But I like what we have here and the culture and just coming here and having suppers on Thursday nights now, and just coming here and sharing with others. And what we have here, we have this, and I can share with others that I haven't been back to Indiana at the Midwest Pastors Conference for 4 years. And folks were just great to see me. Miss Kimberly, you know, it was different. It was odd for me. Where's Kimberly? Where's Kimberly? She usually gets out wherever she goes. Where's Chick? But it was different. So where's Kimberly? And what's going on with the fellowship and what's happening? Are you guys still tight and things that are happening around? And one person who was there were probably, maybe, unless someone talks to him, that Midwest Pastors Conference is going to be in Calvary Chapel Magazine. See our Calvary Chapel Magazine back there? I know the editor and the founder, and he was there. Hey, how you doing? And he's just walking around because he's gone to the East Coast and the West Coast and others. And, you know, Calvary Chapel has just gotten huge. And he goes, there's just something different going on here. And I go, yeah, we all like each other. And, you know, we hang out and the fellowships are getting along. And we are open, honest, and transparent. We talk to one another in love. We say the hard things to one another. And we get together and we pray and we do those things. And it's a different mindset here. And he goes, well, this is my first time covering it. I said, listen to that statement right there, because things that have happened on the East Coast and the West Coast and everything that's happened that you unfortunately have been hearing through the internet and whatever's going on within Calvary Chapels outside of here in the Midwest, they've pretty much left us alone. And now people are coming and they're like, I got to check this out. Just like another pastor and his wife coming here last Sunday. And is this really true? You know, I mean, they want to come here, and are you guys really fellowshipping and pray for one another and get along with one another? Yeah, and not everyone likes everyone, each other, but we work through it and we'll do those things. Just to be able to say that, one pastor says, you actually, you know, they just formulate, and he goes, you said to everybody, you might come to church and you might not like everybody who's there. He said, you said that out loud? You know, and I gave him my typical thing that I've said, hey, look, you know, I don't think before I talk because I want to be just as shocked and surprised as everybody else. And he goes, you're joking. I go, no, but there's a little bit of truth to that. You know, and so this is the thing that we have. And so if you have your Bibles, I'm glad you have your Bibles, turn with me to Galatians. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. This is what we're going to do tonight. I'm going to share with you, so you guys just start formulating. I want to hear from you. Kimberly and I haven't been around for the last few weeks, traveling, celebrating 30 years of ministry. My present to her was taking her to Cedar Point Amusement Park where she wanted to go. Her present to me was almost getting me to see Jesus. Jesus. 30 years of marriage. I don't know what you're listening to. 30 years of marriage. But Galatians chapter 6. Let's read it in the nearly inspired version, NIV. All right. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with his instructor. New Living Translation, those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers sharing of all good things with them. English Standard Version, let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Berean Study Bible. However, the one who receives instruction in the Word must share in all good things with his instructor. Berean Literal Bible. I like this one. Now let the one being taught in the Word share all good things with the one teaching. New American Standard. The one who is taught the Word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. King James. Let him that is taught in the Word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. The Amplified Version. Let him, that is for the hearing impaired, that are taught the Word communicate unto him all good things. Do you get the point here? In Galatians chapter 6, about sharing things. So I want to hear from you. Because of this last Sunday and a time before that, for those of you, two things have happened this last couple of weeks. For those of you sharing the interviews on the Chick Chickellis Hour, interviewed you folks, and you were sharing that of what you learned at the conference and what you got out of it, it really blessed people because we're listened to in over 140 different countries. And there's people who don't, not only just here in America, who forsake. I think Hebrews was written just for them. You know, forsake not the gathering together of the assembly of the saints, as some are in the habit of doing. It's to your own demise. So people have that luxury of just sitting at home or doing whatever. But there's people around the world who literally cannot get to church or have church, and they're living off of this. One pastor school in Africa uses Bible radio as part of their curriculum. They take pastors, guys who are already pastoring flocks, but don't know the Bible really well, but they have a calling upon their life. They bring them to this Bible college for a year. They have to write a study guide for and a summary of each book of the Bible, and they need to listen to Pastor Chuck's teachings. They all, fortunately, understand English. They're listening to Bible radio because we air Pastor Chuck and all the things that are going on. And the teachings that we do with that and the others. And they're using that. They've incorporated that into part of their curriculum because in that part of Africa, they can listen on LG flip phones. Now, they don't need a smartphone. They don't have an Alexander Graham Bell wire system. They went from smoke signals, beating drums, to mobile. And they have that network. And so they're able to listen through this technology. So the last couple of weeks, I've been getting emails of people who've been listening throughout the world and saying, wow, I felt like I was part of that conference by hearing people share what they got out of that. And it makes a desire. I really want that more. If I'm able to get that someday, I'm going to get that. It's the same counsel I give guys. You know, you find some girl who's going to kiss that mug of yours, you hang on to her for dear life. You know, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. I mean, there should be no complaining whatsoever. And so, Aaron, people are doing that. If I get that, if I have that, there's others who've said, you know, I've really missed out. There's others that are taking what they're hearing here and bringing it back to their churches and saying, hey, can we do this? Met a pastor who, not a Calvary Chapel pastor, down in Indiana, and I'm just going to start praying with him or for him, and I'm just getting to know him, and he's just curious because all these years I've been going to Indiana and renting cars, and he works to support himself in the ministry, and he's pastoring this small little church in this real small town in Indiana. God bless him, and just to hear with me and some of the other pastors just talking about what we're getting out of the conference, he's like, oh, I want that. And I want that. I enjoy that. So I want to share all good things with you. So here's what I do. Today I just wanted to share this with you. If you don't do it, and if you always wonder, maybe you don't always, but maybe you do now, I just know there's an intimidation factor with just me and Kimberly, probably more so me than her, of just what to say and talk. If you just want to have a conversation with us, you just feel like, then I would just say be interested in the things we're interested in. On the peripheral, you know, it's going to be the Marines, it's going to be the Vikings, and it's going to be food. So we can talk about that all you want. We know those three things right off the bat. But if you want to talk about spiritual things, I read my utmost for his highest every day, and I read a proverb a day. And today was just capstoning this. So as you're preparing, because I want you to come up and use this microphone right here, and if our sound guy's watching and paying attention, he'll turn it on, all right? All right. But right now he'll turn it off because it beat my hand right there. But he'll be ready. All right. He'll be ready. Won't he be ready? Or he'll be ready. All right. But let me share with you this one. Just, I've been doing this for 30 some years. The first time I found an Oswald Chambers devotional in someone's bathroom. They're there. All right. Someone was visiting one of my kids out east, and they said, yeah, they went to the restroom. He goes, yeah, wouldn't be a Jekyll's home without one of these in here. And so there they are. But now we have them on electronic right here. So let me give this to you. Today is October 12th, and Enoch walked with God. Genesis 5:24. It's for October 12th. The true test of a person's spiritual life and character is not what he does in the extraordinary moments of life, but what he does during the ordinary times when there is nothing tremendous or exciting happening. A person's worth is revealed in his attitude toward the ordinary things of life when he is not under the spotlight. See John chapter 1, verses 35 through 37, and John chapter 3, verse 30. It is a painful work to get in step with God and to keep pace with him. It means getting your second wind spiritually and learning to walk with God. There is always the difficulty of getting into his stride. But once we have done so, the only characteristic that exhibits itself is the very life of God himself. The individual person is merged into a personal oneness with God, and God's stride and his power alone are exhibited. It is difficult to get into stride with God because as soon as we start walking with him, we find that his pace has surpassed us before we have even taken three steps. He has different ways of doing things, and we have to be trained and disciplined in his ways. It was said of Jesus, he will not fail nor be discouraged, Isaiah 42:4, because he never worked from his own individual standpoint, but always worked from the standpoint of his Father. And we must listen, or we must learn to do the same. Spiritual truth is learned through the atmosphere that surrounds us, not through intellectual reasoning. It is God's Spirit that changes the atmosphere of our way of looking at things. And then things begin to be possible, which before were impossible. Getting into God's stride means nothing less than oneness with him. It takes a long time to get there, but keep at it. Don't give up because the pain is intense right now. Get on with it. Before long, you will find that you have a new vision and a new purpose. And then Proverbs chapter 12. You can flip it over there if you want. You can read it while I'm talking. But Proverbs chapter 12 is just today is the 12th. And so I'll read Proverbs chapter 12. And I'll just be meditating and ruminating on that. And then when I'm reading the emails for those who listen to our services tonight, and then for the last couple of weeks, it really is awesome that people would email and say, man, I don't have this and I want to get it. So I want to encourage those who are listening, for those who are here tonight, if you ever feel like you shouldn't go to church or participate and do those things, man, you really should. There's people in other countries that can't get what you and I get right now. And so I'm going to encourage you, don't take that for granted. There are people that, and pastors, there are people too, some of them, aren't walking with the Lord anymore. And they're not at this conference that I was just at, whether they've fallen morally or others just getting discouraged. I can tell you where people take issue with me is that I really don't get discouraged. I don't get depressed. I just keep trying to get in that stride with God. I might get upset, get kind of bummed out, or my heart breaks over those things. But I can't really think of a time that Kimberly and I have ever really thought about just quitting and leaving and getting out of here. And sometimes I hear people's, pastors' testimonies and say, oh, yeah, I just really struggle with this and just want to quit. Now, we've laughed and joked about it. I mean, it kind of came serious one time, and it was like, well, let's just quit. And we just kind of look at each other, and it's just sort of like a Greek standoff, and someone's going to die. And we're just looking, and then we just kind of looked at each other, and then my wife looks at me, and she goes, I said, well, why don't we just quit, and then we'll just get born again and go find some little church somewhere and just start, and where no one knows us. She goes, yeah, sounds good in theory, but you'll be running the church in 6 months. So, no, it's just not going to. You can't not do that. It's our calling. Oh, let's just stick it out. I mean, that happened years ago, but that's about the closest we'd ever come. So sometimes other pastors take issue with me and Kimberly because we haven't had that. You don't have to have that. And if others do, I don't fault them or whatever, but I'm like, but I would get encouraged by what a man who's still ministering to me, even though he's dead for over 100 years. Oswald Chambers died in World War I. He was a chaplain with the British Red Cross, and he literally 100,000 men had come through the Port Said there in Africa and ministered well over 200,000, and many accepted Christ and died in the trench warfare. So I listen to him. I learn from older men, and then I go through the Proverbs. So if you want to have a conversation with me, read a proverb a day, read Oswald Chambers, and then we just start off a conversation. We just start going from there. There's just nothing about that. And so I would encourage you to do that. And it shouldn't hurt. And it shouldn't. But there's something else that Kimberly and I got to do, and I want to share that with you. We'll show you on our phone. I sent some of the pictures to others. But let me just speak to you from my heart. I pushed this book, Daniel Nass, Prevailing Prince of Prayer, by Paul Reno. You can order these online. I still have a case of them, and I hand them out. And I would encourage you just to be praying. If you want to zoom in on that, Jonathan, you want to get right there. So for the people online who are watching our cable network station right there, but Prevailing Prince of Prayer. Kimberly and I, on our 30-year anniversary and traveling around after Cedar Point, we lived. I said, God, if I live. No, we lived, and she's a roller coaster queen. You know what she had the audacity to say after 10 roller coasters of trying to kill me? She goes, you know, and she's telling us, you know, I'm almost 50, and, you know, I just realize as the older I get, there's just some things you just can't do anymore. What? Why didn't you discover that like 7 roller coasters ago when I was dying, you know? You know, they want you to enjoy every moment at the parks now, so they snap a picture as you're going down the most terrifying part. Kimberly, every one of the pictures, she's like a dog with her head out the window driving at 60 miles an hour. I'm over the other side going, I said, well, we're not paying $5 for that picture. It's burnt right here. And so I just had a glimpse of what her life has been like married to me for 30 years. All the roller coasters. But something else that we were able to do was we were able to go to upstate New York. I always wanted to go to upstate New York and go visit the grave of Daniel Nash. And we did. Then we felt kind of weird taking pictures and we're smiling over a tombstone. But I do enjoy a funeral more than a wedding, so I guess it's appropriate there. But here's a person, I just have sort of a rule. If you're dead, you're red. And someone who can't change his mind anymore, but let me share this with you, because again, get ready. I want you folks to come up and share with us what's been going on the last few weeks and in the microphone right here. And it'll be encouraging to others that are listening in. Let me just read the preface to you. He pastored a small church in the backwoods of New York for 6 years and traveled with and prayed for a traveling evangelist for 7 more years until his death. As far as we know, he never ministered outside the region of upstate New York during days when much of it were frontier. His tombstone is in a neglected cemetery along a dirt road behind a livestock auction barn. Found it. We found it. His church no longer exists. Its meeting house location marked by a historical marker in a cornfield. The building is gone. Its timber used to house grain in a feed mill 4 miles down the road. No books tell of his life story. No pictures or diaries can be found. His descendants, if any, cannot be located, and his messages are forgotten. He wrote no books, started no schools, led no movements, and generally kept out of sight. Yet this man saw revival twice in his pastorate, and then was a key figure in one of the greatest revivals in the history of the United States. In many ways, he was to the U.S. what Praying Hyde was to India. I don't know who Praying Hyde is. There's a clue. Find out. He is known almost exclusively for his powerful prayer ministry. The great evangelist Charles Finney left his itinerant ministry for the pastorate within 3 or 4 months after this man's death. Finney never counted on his theology, messages, preaching style, logic, or methods to save souls. He looked rather to the mighty prayer and the resulting powerful work of the Holy Spirit to sweep in with great conviction on his audience, that his conversations might be that might be through. This may well explain why 80% of those converted in his meetings stood the test of time. Yet years later, Moody followed a similar pattern, but without such a prayer warrior. He saw perhaps 50% of his converts last. Today, a well-known evangelist, well-financed and highly organized, recently stated that he would be delighted if 20% of his converts were genuinely converted. In this day of apostasy, with many decisions but few true conversions, with many programs but little prayer, with much organizing but little agonizing, we would be wise to learn lessons from the past. One of our godly forefathers whose life can teach us such is Daniel Nash. His early years seem mostly lost from the records. This much we do know: he was born November 27, 1775, and by November 11, 1816, at the age of 40, he accepted the pastorate at the Stowe's Square Congregational Presbyterian Church. I think it's pronounced Lowville. How do you say L-O-W? Yeah, well, they put a ville on it, and it's Lowville. In the Lowville Township, that's why it took some time to try to find this place. No one knew what I was saying. He had moved there from Onondaga County, the area near Syracuse, and had a farm at least by 1825, the time of the first census in that area. During his first year of pastoring the Union Church, he saw a revival with at least 70 being converted. That's a revival, folks. One of the first to be baptized was Sally Porter, December 18, 1816, to whom he was married by February of 1817. He baptized five of her children before spring, possibly a sixth several years later. Typical church problems were dealt with clearly by church discipline, broken contracts between members, heresy regarding the Trinity. A meeting house was built in June 7, 1819, and dedicated to the service of God December 13, 1819. There was a group who split from the main group during the period of the building program or shortly thereafter. They located 4 miles to the south, where the pastor, where the village of Lowville was being developed. We see here that that's it for him. Now, I went and I looked up this information from the Lewis County Historical Society, and I had to tell the guy who was a curator there. He helped me find the gravesite. It's a historical mark. There's a lot of gravesites by where churches used to be, and he helped me find it. And I said, "You don't know about this, and I'm going to send him a case of these books," because he had nothing. I said, "Man, the Great Awakening, the Second Great Awakening, the first one, you know, we saw just before the American Revolution, and the Second Great Awakening here in upstate New York, and this whole New England thing. How do you not know about it? Oh, you study all this history." Well, by the time I left, he was feeling kind of not that big anymore. So I'm going to send you some of this stuff, and you could have it out here and, you know, let people do what they want with it. But this is an important part. So why do we exist as a church? I mean, the technology is great. Another pastor can't believe I said on Sunday that he says, when I said, "Man, I love the Antichrist technology. I love everything that's moving towards a one-world government. I like the internet. I like smart cards. I like all these things. I love it all. I benefit from all of it. I haven't written, the only time I write a check is for church for paying bills, but I've been paying stuff online or by direct deposit and stuff for the last 15 years cashless. I love it. I'm not going to be here for the final installment. I'm not going to say, put it right here on my forehead or my right arm. It's not going to be around for that. And that technology at its zenith is only going to last 3.5 years through the 7-year tribulation, and then it's all revealed. All for nothing. But I'm taking advantage of it. We have opportunity after opportunity to listen to some great Bible teaching, to do some things. Our radio ministry, church, you are blessing people in over 140 countries, and they're listening hours and hours and hours upon the day. And that's what you, with your tithes and offerings, we're doing, that we have an impact in this world. And there's things that are happening because of what we're doing here. But are we speaking the truth in love? Are we being open, honest, and transparent? Are we dealing with the sin issues in our life? And then are we continuing to encourage one another to walk righteously? We have to work at it. We do. It doesn't come naturally. Hey, folks, try not to watch me when I'm doing worship, or I'm here, you know, worship. Man, but I have not been attacked in the last few weeks when it comes to my heart and my mind, when it comes to worship, and I was just at a pastor's conference, everything's gone. Until I sat right here, and Lauren Ross started the first song, and then something I saw when I was 12 or 13 years old popped right in my head. The greatest spiritual attack I have ever experienced has been in this church. Because the enemy doesn't want me here, so I just got to shake it off. I've already been forgiven of it. That's going on, and all that. And let's just, that's why I get here early, and that's why I pray, and that's why I do these things. And this is why I encourage people to pray as well. I've asked others, guys who have left the ministry, and they couldn't hack it, things went on, you know, and they blame the people. It's just never their fault, right? And I've tried, many guys who have left the ministry, said, would you be a Daniel Nash for me? I've given this book out over 100 times. In these last 30 years, I said, here, would you do this for me? I need somebody. I said, I'm preaching. I can't be praying. Would you do that? I've offered to take guys' places, go with me. I'm gonna go to this conference and I'm gonna be preaching there. And they're like, well, just call me, man. Just call me, and you know, I'll be praying for you. He said, you're gonna be distracted. Would you join me in ministry? You know, right now, Lauren Ross on Sundays is up in the loft, the choir, I guess that's, I don't know if they're choir. He's up there in the prayer loft where the sound booth is, camera guys, and he's back there and he's praying. And I would encourage you that I need people praying for me. Kimberly prays for me. She prays for me and about me, but she prays for me, all right? But she's my wife. I mean, she's going to do that. She has a vested interest in me walking with the Lord. So there's a little something of that. But I need people praying. So for those of the sound of my voice, whatever, but when I go places, I'm not going to be going anywhere for 2018. I'm done traveling. She might go see grandkids. I ain't going anywhere. You know, and I'm not saying this to my own, to boast up, but a lot of guys invite me to go and fill their pulpits and do things, and I don't want to. I don't want to leave. It's not a heady thing. I'm very selective where I go. And in this time of travel in the last few weeks, it's the first time, because every 5 years we try to take a big trip. It's the first time I've ever said, I'm not even telling people that we're in that city. Because every time we go, oh, could you film? Oh, could you do this? And, oh, could you have come and speak and do those things? Like, no, I'm just, because I really don't have anything to say. All right, I could say something, you know, I can put the show on, but I don't have anything to say, and I'm just focused on just me and my wife, and this is what we're doing right here. And we had a great time. I had a great time. Did you have a good time? She had a good time. Oh, man. She, just for her to see what she did to me on that Cedar Point. Lord enough. So that's what Lauren Ross does up there. He prays, and he sits back there, and he prays, and you can hear sometimes. And because he's focusing on prayer, the Holy Spirit tells him even what to pray for and for the people that are coming in here. And I would love that loft would be filled with people who would just be praying over the service, because that's really where the power comes from, is from the Word of God. I know the Word of God, and I'm finding out more and more and more. But it really just comes to that power of prayer. And I was privileged because I listened live to the Sundays and the Thursdays, and Kimberly and I tuned in, and we got to be, we're praying. You know, we're praying when we can see Brad start to drift. And so, you know, here, and just bring him back, Jesus, bring him back. Jesus, take the wheel. And then comes back and something like that. Alex is just, Jesus, oh, help him, man. Just and stuff like that. It's not, okay, we can do that. It all worked out great. But being able to pray for that. And that I would do that. If I was not where God called me to be right now, if I was not called to pastor Calvary Chapel St. Paul, I would be a Daniel Nash or something. I used to be for my pastor and for others. And when I served under, you know, Mike Fernandez, you know, my best friend, I mean, that's what I did. I love that. And to go, and so I'd encourage you to read that. And it might not be you, but it's something. So here was this guy who was this failed, broken pastor. The church, by the way, if you read it, fired him and got rid of him. Founder of the church. And Finney comes along and says, you know, the first version of the Snickers commercial, I see you have some time on your hands. You know, I just, hey, could you come and pray and to do that? So that's what Lauren Ross is doing up there and praying on Sundays. I could use that. I could use people on Thursday as well. Physically here with me. Physically here with me. There's people who are praying from afar. But, you know, that's what Peter did. We read about him in the New Testament too, right? Following Jesus from afar. Being right here and to come along. And I learned that early on. When my pastor would have me fill in for him, I would go find some others, because Kimberly's always praying for him, but I would just go find those prayer warriors in the church and say, hey, I'm filling in for Pastor Ralph for the next couple of weeks, running the church, doing the things, and be doing all the teaching and the counseling, and would you be praying for me? Oh, yeah, they would get it on it. And it's really, that's where the power comes from. And so if you're not a praying person, just start. Get together and pray and be getting it. I've been meeting with Eric and others. I've tried meeting with others, but Eric and I have been praying for years on Wednesdays. And we're texting each other back and we're, hey, this year has been crazy. I'm in town this week. Well, I'm not in town this week. And, you know, but we long for those times. And I've invited others to join us, but it's just me and Eric. But so I get with someone else and to be praying and be seeking the Lord. So Kimberly and I, we love you very much. Do you love him? Yeah, we do this week. We're proud of everyone today. So far. All right. Well, who would like to come up and share with me and Kimberly just what the Lord's been doing with you? And we'll do that. Come on. All right. So there's no dead air. Take the mic. There we go.
All right. No dead air.
Right. So a lot of things kind of stood out as I've been listening to Chick. On the prayer thing, today during worship, one of the sisters said that they were going to pray for me, and I could feel that during worship. I usually, my mind gets distracted with pride. You know, thoughts will pop in my head, you know, thinking how great I am. And so that really helped to keep that down. but the thing that I've been doing lately, I've been looking for a house. My family, looking for a place to live. And something, a verse that kind of popped in my head, and I just didn't know exactly what it was, but I found it because I've been reading through the Proverbs, trying to do that. And it's Proverbs 10:22. It says, "The blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." And that's what I'm wanting. Is I'm praying for God to lead us to the right place, whether it's house, apartment, whatever. But that whatever his provision is, I know there's not going to be sorrow added to that. You know, there's an old saying, whatever you strive to attain, you're going to have to strive to maintain. And that's just a lot of work. I want God to be the one to do that work. So that way then when it falls apart, I go, God, it's your turn to fix it now too. Today, the other thing I wanted to share was with the utmost. What Chick was reading was just kind of ministering to me, because I had that conversation with God on my way home from work. It was exactly what he was reading there. I got the text, hey, can you do the worship tonight? You know, can you lead? Yes, I can, you know. And I'm on my way home, and I'm just starting to pray and trying to, you know, get in the Spirit. And, you know, I just heard this thing go, you know, just the Spirit say, hey, you know, you can get in the Spirit the second you start singing. I mean, my spirit can be that fast. You should be trying to be in the Spirit all the time. And that was basically what the utmost was saying. So those were just some of the things that have stood out from just listening to Chick here tonight. So, All right.
You got it? I got it, man. I got it. All right, sister, come on up. Come on up. Testify.
Okay. So I've been coming to the church for almost 20 years. And I just, what I want to share, try not to cry. I was saved when I came here, but I was never taught how to walk with the Lord. So I was taught how to walk with the Lord. And no, it was not easy, but it's been so worth it. One of the things was how to serve through it. And what does that mean? I mean, it means anything like emotions, hard times, when you're being persecuted, Another thing I was taught is how to let the Holy Spirit lead and just how to walk in the Spirit. And, you know, it's, I oftentimes, you know, you want to please. And I've really learned just, like, if I'm pleasing God, I'm pleasing everybody. I will please everybody. So it's just most important to please God. I've learned what my gifts and talents are and just, how, you know, Pastor Chick's equipping for the work of the ministry. And then just what grace looks like and how to grow in God's grace, because that's just constantly something we need to grow in. I've learned just my call at intercessory prayer, just as we were talking about, and that I learned from Kimberly. And just what, you know, just from praying with her and just seeing her heart and just how important it is just to pray, you know, that's just where the battles are won. So another thing I learned is just how to be honest and just to confess sin and not to be afraid of, you know, not to hide it, because God already sees it. So just 1 John 1:9, you know, spiritual bar of soap, and just how freeing that is to be able to just confess my sin and be cleansed from all unrighteousness. I feel very safe here. I feel very loved, and I just want to thank Pastor Chick and Kimberly. Thank you. I love you guys.
Thank you. Brother.
So, because of the love and effort that Chick and Kimberly put into me, he did everything he can to teach me how to lead, and I love and appreciate him for that. And so seeing fruit of it, like, I know, like, I kind of purposed learning that. You invite everybody and let God sort it out. So I did my best to do that. We moved Amy's grandma here just last weekend, and it's a classic church move. And so, like, the church, you guys don't know, like, the rest of the story, and I don't know if you know any of the story. So this is really cool. So we get this opportunity, and so for the church, you guys didn't know Grandma, she's on dialysis, and so things were really hard. What I told you is she hurt her knee, which was true, and she needed another week just to kind of get things ready. Well, she had done a lot, and Marissa and Emily had helped pack up the house, and so I saw what it was, and we know church culture, like, if you get everything packed up, we can show up and do what we do. I was like, I think we can do this in like 2 hours. And you could see the look of, like, that's impossible. Like, that's not going to happen. And she was really convicted, like, I'm going to hire movers. I'm going to organize this. But because of the love you guys have and the response, you know, you organize and lead and call and say, hey, can you help? We get 14 people that show up, and within 2 hours, it's knocked out, and we're eating pizza. Like, and Grandma, it moved so fast that literally she would move to the back room, you know, slowly, and she's pretty particular, wants things, you know, where they are. But by the time she'd get back to the front, we're like, okay, we just unloaded 4 more cars, and she was like, I don't even. It was just too much. It was a classic, like, remove everything, reset everything, and because of that, there's so much conversation of like, you guys are amazing. And you are. Just this thank you for everything that you do. And there's no way, like, we could do that without the teaching and training that Chick and Kimberly have given to us. So that's my thanks and praise.
Oh, man, that's awesome, man. Thanks, brother. You guys rock, man. I wasn't even around. You guys rocked. You guys moved Grandma. All right, man. All right, good deal. Come on, man. You guys are, see, that's blessing me, man. I didn't even know that. I didn't get an email on it. Nothing. Jonathan's threatened to hurt us all if we don't show up. I didn't get any of those, man. That's great. Brother Dan.
Anybody got a calendar? I learned years ago you can sober up a drunk, but you can't shut him up. So I might need people waving at me going, I came to this church 16 years ago as an ick, a diabetic, alcoholic, geriatric, manic. And if it had ick attached to it, I was it. And this book was recommended to me. Hey, thanks for reminding me about this, because I try to read this about 3 times a year. I'm a couple months overdue. Anybody that's read this book, I want to go out like he did. And if you haven't read it, I'm not going to do the spoiler. So you have to read it. This guy was incredible. On my last day of the job, when I retired, I took all the copies I had and I passed them out to everybody. And I said, it'll take you 45 minutes at the most. And I want to go out like this guy did. He's just totally awesome. So I come to this church, just totally blown away. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. People singing and clapping and all this stuff. I never went to a church like that. And I had tons of questions. And I would go up to our pastor, and he always had 2 standard answers. And you should know what they are. Number one was, did you pray about it? And the second one was, what did the Lord say? So after a period of time, I'd go up to see him, and I go, well, he's going to ask me if I prayed about it, or what did the Lord say, so I might as well pray about it. And then I found out I wasn't running up to him every time I stubbed my toe. It was just awesome, you know. So anyway, I'm struggling one day, and from the pulpit he says, read a proverb a day, it keeps Satan away. And I just kind of went, this sounds like something new. It sounds kind of cool. So about a week later, I'm struggling with, Lord, am I supposed to ask Tracy if I can court? What do I do? I'm confused. And I heard this proverb a day. And I went, oh, okay. So it happened to be the 27th. And I always say 27:5 is my Tracy verse. It says, open rebuke is better than hidden love. And I went, I got my answer. It'll either be yes or no, and I don't really have a problem being corrected if I'm wrong. So I had my answer. And it seemed like every time I turned around, something was in Proverbs. And then I was told, well, gee, why don't you read Psalms too? And between the proverb a day and the 5 Psalms a day, I seemed to get every answer I need. And to the point where I don't even like to go out until I've read my utmost for his highest, and then my Bible, because there's been times where I've read it at the end of the day, and I've seen what Oswald Chambers said, or what the Lord had, and gone, I wish I had had this information about 4 hours ago. It could have saved a lot of hassle here. You know, so I've told different people that when I'm struggling with something that I don't seem like I'm getting an answer right away, I go and I read Psalms 31, 51, 71, and 91. And if I'm still bouncing off the wall, I go back and I pray Psalms 31, 51, 71, and 91. Because 31 is basically saying, help, Lord, I'm messing up. I need help and I need it right now. And Psalm 51 is basically when David went into Bathsheba and the elder called him out and says, hey, boy, you're going in the wrong direction. And he's repenting. Please, I've sinned against you and you only, Lord. And then Psalm 71, it's like a good prayer if you're starting to age. And I relate to this one a lot. It's like, help me, Lord. I think I'm losing it. Please, Lord, you know, don't let me go. And Psalm 91, he's given us the promise. It's just like 1,000 will fall at your hand. Pestilence will be all around you, but it won't touch you. All the answers are right there. So anytime I have a concern, I go to one of these psalms, and it's just like, thank you, thank you, thank you. Your word doesn't change. You know? And this was a place where I found prayer and what it does. And we get to do it. And I did that for a while. I prayed before service. And my wife would say, well, how did it go? And I said, well, there were 6 of us there. And she'd go, okay. And she'd ask me every week. And then the one week she said, how many were there? And I said, 7. She says, you mean somebody joined you? Because the 6 were me, myself, and I, and the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We were always in the majority. We were always there. And if there was a 7th person or an 8th person, that was just icing on the cake. So I can't encourage you enough to pray, because he hears us. And it says, go into your room, close the door. So I'm dating myself here, but sometimes it means just getting up and going to the other side of the room and doing the Les Nessman thing and closing the imaginary door. But as long as it's just me and the Lord, that's all that really counts, you know, keeping the distractions away. And I find as time goes on, there is so much more to pray for and about. You know, I keep looking around at all the fires and tornadoes and earthquakes and everything else going, when is everybody going to wake up and see why this is happening? It's not because we're these really cool, awesome people. We need to get tight with the Lord because he's had an incredible amount of patience with me. And I've seen how he's dealt with me when I started to wander one way or the other. Praise God, he's faithful. I wasn't brought up in a house that didn't even really know what a Bible was. And I remember when we moved to this state when I was 11 years old, they took me to this grade school I was going to go to. And as we went in, my dad kept pointing above the door and laughing. And I didn't quite get what it meant. And it was just a couple of years ago, we were leaving a Thursday night in the park at Como. And I told my wife, I says, I got to know if my dad was looking and mocking and laughing, it had something to do with Scripture. So we drove to this grade school over on Hamlin Avenue. And I looked up and I smiled. And I go, look, look. And I went to, and it's in Proverbs. All the answers are in Proverbs. Chapter 4, verse 13. And it's still there. I'm surprised the city hasn't pasted over it. But in big, deep, engraved letters, it says, take firm hold of instruction, keep her, for she is thy life. And I was just like, yes, it's still there. And they even highlighted the letters so it even sticks out more now. So it's probably one of the few places that they haven't destroyed yet. But all I can say is just keep praying and keep coming here because it works. If I can get saved, anybody can. Thank you.
Amen. Thanks, Heather. If you want to see something amazing.
I just broke some.
That's okay, man. If you want to see something amazing, Dan's got a picture of him, his school picture when he was 8. And a picture of him last week, and he's wearing the exact same shirt and haircut. All right. That is amazing. Anybody else? Come on up. Ms. Kimberly? Want to tell them what we were gossiping about? Anything? All right. None? All right. Well, I just want to finish out with a time of worship. That's Tracy's cue. Come on up and just a time of prayer. Thank you. Next couple of weeks, I have some messages that I'm putting together the Lord's got on my heart, and I didn't want to rush it for tonight, and just wanted to be able to hear from everyone else here. So if you got some stories, you want to see our pictures of where we're at, and Daniel Nash's grave, and just going there, and that was a great witness and opportunity, too, because people ask, because this is a really, really small, isolated place, and people from there go, why are you here? And then we get to tell them, and we get to show them the book. We get to, really? That's here, and you... Why does that? And I go, man, this guy's made a spiritual impact in my life. And so I just wanted to be able to participate with that. So we're just going to go in a time of prayer, an afterglow, and we'll finish out the radio broadcast with that. And stick around if you need prayer. Calvary Kids Club is still going on. But thank you, folks. We love you. Not going anywhere. And hope 2018, man, is a... Even more phenomenal year. But we love you guys and look forward to you guys still walking with the Lord and serving the Lord and continuing on.
Fullness of joy. And I will bless you, Lord, I will praise you, Lord, I will worship you, O Lord God Most High. I will bless you, Lord, I will praise you, Lord, I will worship you, O Lord God Most High. O Lord, you are my portion, you are my God. Is fullness of joy. Lord, you are my portion. And in your presence is mercy and love. Lord, you are my cup, and I will bless you, Lord, I will praise you, Lord, I will worship you, O Lord God Most High. I will bless you, Lord, I will praise you, Lord,
this is Bible Radio.